Kitty. Chapter 6.
Kitty. Kitty. Hmm? Wake up. It's time.
She raised her head, blinked, and with a rush awoke to the roar of the theatre interval. The lights in the auditorium had come on. The great purple curtain had descended across the stage. The audience had fragmented into hundreds of red-faced individuals filing slowly from the stalls. Kitty was awash in a lake of sound that beat against her temples like a tide. She shook her head to clear it and looked at Stanley, who was leaning over the stall in front, a sardonic expression on his face. "Oh," she said confusedly.
"Yes. Yes, I'm ready." "The bag. Don't forget it." "I'm hardly likely to, am I?" "You are hardly likely to fall asleep."
Breathing hard and brushing a loop of hair from her eyes, Kitty snatched up the bag and stood to allow a man to squeeze in front of her. She turned to follow him out along the row of stalls. As she did so, she caught sight of Fred for a moment. His dull eyes were, as always, hard to decipher, but Kitty thought she detected a trace of derision. She compressed her lips and shuffled her way into the aisle. Every inch of space between the stalls was crowded with people thronging variously towards the bars, the toilets, the ice cream girl, standing in a pool of light against a wall. Movement in any direction was difficult. It reminded Kitty of a cattle market, with the herd being shepherded slowly through a maze of concrete and metal fencing. She took a deep breath, and with a succession of muttered apologies and judiciously applied elbows, joined the herd. She inched her way between assorted backs and bellies, towards a set of double doors. Midway across, a tap on her shoulder. Stanley's grinning face.
"Didn't think much of the show, I take it?"
"Of course not. Dire."
"I thought it had a couple of good points."
"You would."
He tutted in mock surprise.
"At least I wasn't sleeping on the job."
"The job," Kitty snapped, "comes now."
With set face and hair dishevelled, she spilled out through the doors into the side corridor that looped around the edge of the auditorium. She was angry with herself now, angry for dozing, angry for allowing Stanley to get so easily under her skin. He was always looking for any sign of weakness, trying to exploit it with the others. This would only give him more ammunition. She shook her head impatiently. Forget it. This was not the time. She weaved her way into the theatre foyer, where a good many members of the audience were spilling out into the street to sip iced drinks and enjoy the summer evening. Kitty spilled with them. The sky was deep blue. The light was slowly fading. Colourful flags and banners hung from the houses opposite, ready for the public holiday. Glasses clinked, people laughed. With silent watchfulness, the three of them passed among the happy crowd. At the corner of the building, Kitty checked her watch.
"We have 15 minutes,"
Stanley said.
"There's a few magicians out tonight. See that old woman swilling a gin? The one in green? Something in her bag. Powerful aura. We could snatch it." "No, we stick to the plan. Go on, Fred."
Fred gave a nod. From the pocket of his leather jacket, he produced a cigarette and lighter. He dawdled forwards to a point that gave a view along a side road, and while lighting the cigarette, scanned along it. Seemingly satisfied, he set off down it without a backward glance. Kitty and Stanley followed. The street contained shops, bars, and restaurants. A fair number of people strolled past, taking the air. At the next corner, Fred's cigarette appeared to go out. He paused to relight it, again peering closely in all directions. This time his eyes narrowed. Casually, he strolled back the way he had come. Kitty and Stanley were busy window shopping, a happy couple holding hands. Fred passed them.
"Demon coming," he said softly. "Keep the bag hidden."
A minute passed. Kitty and Stanley cooed and clucked over the Persian carpets in the window. Fred inspected the flower displays in the next shop along. From the edge of her eye, Kitty watched the corner of the road. A little old gentleman, well-dressed and white-haired, came round it, humming a military air. He crossed the road out of sight. Kitty glanced at Fred. Almost imperceptibly, he shook his head. Kitty and Stanley remained where they were. A middle-aged lady, wearing a large flowery hat, appeared round the corner. She walked slowly, as if contemplating the ills of the world. At the corner she paused, sighed heavily, and turned towards them. Kitty smelled her perfume as she passed, a strong, rather vulgar scent. Her footfalls died away.
"'Okay,'
Fred said. He returned to the corner, made a quick reconnaissance, nodded, and disappeared round it. Kitty and Stanley peeled themselves away from the window and followed, dropping each other's hands as if they had sprouted plague. The leather bag, which had been held under Kitty's coat, reappeared in her grasp. The next road was narrower, and there were no pedestrians nearby. On the left, dark and empty behind a black railing, lay the delivery yard for the carpet shop. Fred was slouching against the railing, looking up and down the street.
"Search spheres just passed down the end," he said. "But we're clear. Your turn, Stan."
The gate to the yard was padlocked. Stanley approached and examined it closely. From an obscure portion of his clothing he drew a pair of steel pincers. A squeeze, a twist, the chain snapped open. They entered the yard, Stanley in the lead. He was staring hard at the ground in front of them.
"Anything?" Kitty said.
"Not here. The back door's got a fuzz over it, some kind of spell. We should avoid it, but that window's safe," he pointed.
"Okay."
Kitty stole to the window, scanned inside. From what little she could see, the room beyond was a storeroom. It was piled with carpets, each rolled and tightly wrapped in linen. She looked at the others.
"Well?" she hissed. "See anything?"
"Of course, this," Stanley said lightly, "is why it's so stupid, you being in charge. You're helpless without us. Blind. Nope, there's no traps."
"No demons,"
Fred said.
"Okay."
Kitty now had black gloves on her hands. She tensed a fist, drove it into the lowest pane of glass. A crack, a brief tinkling of glass upon the sill. Kitty reached through, flipped the latch, raised the window. She vaulted up and into the room, landing silently, eyes flicking side to side. Without waiting for the others, she passed among the pyramids of linen, breathing the rich fustiness of the shrouded carpets, arriving swiftly at a half-open door. From the bag, a torch. A beam of light illuminated a large, richly appointed office, with desks, chairs, paintings on the wall. In a corner, low and dark, a safe.
"Hold it!" Stanley caught Kitty's arm. "There's a little glowing thread at foot level. Runs between the desks. Trip spell. Avoid."
Angrily she pulled herself free from his grip.
"I wasn't just going to go blundering in. I'm not stupid."
He shrugged.
"Sure, sure."
Stepping high above the invisible thread, Kitty reached the safe, opened the bag, produced a small white sphere and laid it on the ground. Carefully she retreated. Back at the door she spoke a word. With a soft sigh and a rush of air, the sphere imploded into nothing. Its suction pulled nearby pictures off the wall, the carpet off the floor, the safe door off its hinges. Calmly, stepping over the invisible thread, Kitty returned to kneel by the safe. Her hands moved fast, piling objects into her bag. Stanley was hopping with impatience.
"What have we got? Moolah glasses? Couple of elemental spheres? Documents and money. Lots of it. Good. Hurry up. We've got 5 minutes.
I know.
Kitty shut the bag and left the office without haste. Fred and Stanley had already departed through the window and were hovering impatiently outside. Kitty crossed the room, jumped out into the yard, and set off towards the gate. A moment later, with an odd intuition, she glanced over her shoulder, just in time to see Fred tossing something back into the storeroom. She stopped dead.
"What the hell was that?"
"No time to chat, Kitty,"
Fred and Stanley hurried past her.
"Play starting."
"What did you just do?"
Stanley winked as they trotted out onto the road.
"Inferno stick. Little present for them."
At his side, Fred was chuckling.
"That wasn't the plan. This was a raid, only."
She could smell the smoke already drifting on the air. They rounded the corner past the front of the shop.
"We can't take the carpets, can we? So why leave them to be sold to the magicians? Can't have pity for collaborators, Kitty. They deserve it."
"We could get caught."
"We won't. Relax. Besides, a little boring break-in won't make the headlines, will it? But a break-in and fire will."
White with fury, fingers clenched on the handles of the bag, Kitty strolled beside them up the road. This wasn't about publicity. This was Stanley challenging her authority again, more seriously than before. It was her plan, her strategy, and he deliberately undercut it. She'd have to take action now, no question. Sooner or later, he'd get them all killed. At the front of the Metropolitan Theatre, an intermittent bell was ringing, and the dregs of the audience were slipping back inside its doors. Kitty, Stanley, and Fred joined them without breaking pace, and a few moments later subsided in their seats once more. The orchestra was warming up again. On stage, the safety curtain had been raised. Still shaking with rage, Kitty placed her bag between her feet. As she did so, Stanley turned his head and grinned.
"Trust me," he whispered. "We'll be front-page news now. There won't be anything bigger than us tomorrow morning."